Welcome back to the Fascinating Facts I Bet You Didn't Know podcast. I'm your host, Shrikan Gaukar, and in this podcast, we talk about random, fun, interesting facts. I know it's been a while since I came out with an episode, but I mean, I'm back now, so yay. All right, so let's go with the episode. So I want to start this episode off with a quote. That quote is, "Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic." And it's by a man named Arthur C. Clarke. Basically, what this means is that over time, our technology will be so good that it'll basically be like magic. Obviously not like Harry Potter with wands and everything like that, but it'll be pretty close. And that's basically what this episode is about. It's about a technology which, at least I consider, almost magic. Being able to maybe one day power cars with E. coli. But let's get a little background first. What is E. coli? E. coli is a bacteria, and its name, E. coli, is short for Escherichia coli. And it's a bacteria that basically lives in your gut, like inside you, in your gut, and is relatively harmless. But as we can tell nowadays, bacteria can mutate and change a couple things in their DNA. And E. coli has mutated. And there are a couple E. coli strains in the world that can cause stomach cramps, bloody diarrhea, and vomiting. And that's kind of bad, but this can be pretty easily avoided by just avoiding bad quality ground meat, unpasteurized milk, and just not eating any fresh produce like fruits and veggies that have been contaminated by manure. You want to keep eating fruits and veggies, just don't eat contaminated ones. Anyway, let's get back to the main subject, which is powering cars with E. coli. And this was a study done by two biochemists, Zhen Q. Wang at the University of Buffalo and Michelle C. Y. Chang at UC Berkeley. And they basically created a project to make olefins from glucose using E. coli, which could then be used to create gasoline to power cars. There are a lot of big words there, so let's break it down. Glucose is a sugary molecule with the chemical buildup of C6H12O6, which means it has 6 carbon atoms, 12 hydrogen atoms, and 6 oxygen atoms, making up one glucose molecule. It's found in table sugar, which is 50% glucose and 50% fructose, which is another sugary molecule. But basically, you consume a good amount of glucose every day, in any food, in carbohydrates, even if you like drink soda. Pretty much any sugar has glucose in it. Now, the other part is olefins. Olefins are hydrocarbons. And they are extremely complex, and I don't really have the time to fully explain what an olefin is, so what I'm gonna tell you is going to be pretty simplified. So olefins are also known as alkenes, you might have heard it like that, and as I said before, they are hydrocarbons. Basically what that means is an olefin, the compound of an olefin molecule, has hydrogen and carbon atoms. And it has a pair of carbon atoms that are linked by a double bond. A double bond is when two atoms are linked together with two electrons. Basically, they're sharing the electrons to complete their outer ring of electrons, and they share them, and because of that, they're bonded together. So, olefins are classified into two groups. They're cyclic or acyclic slash aliphatic olefins. Cyclic olefins are olefins where the double bonds are placed together where it's kind of like a circle, like the two carbon atoms are next to each other and on the edges of the two carbon atoms are the two electrons that they're sharing, and it's kind of like a circle or a closed chain, which is a cyclic olefin. On the other hand, an acyclic olefin is the opposite of a cyclic olefin, meaning that even though the atoms are connected with the double bond, it makes an open circle, not like a closed one or like an open chain. And that's what an acyclic slash aliphatic olefin is. just a double bond that's not like closing into a circle, if that makes sense. Olefins can also have multiple pairs of carbon atoms with a double bond, but it just changes a little bit. Olefin is kind of like a generic name, but if you wanted to go deeper, if an olefin only had one pair of carbon atoms with the double bond, it would be a monoolefin. With two pairs, it would be a diolefin. Three pairs, triolefin. Four pairs, quadolefin, etc., etc., right? You just can keep going to make these olefins. But how does this connect to the big picture? You've learned a lot about olefins, but what does that have to do with powering cars? Olefins are a part of gasoline, which does power cars. And while they only are like a small percentage of gasoline itself, the process to make these olefins, if it is successful, it can be adjusted just to like a small bit and transferred here and there, adjusted here and there to make for other components of gasoline. And yeah, that's basically what olefins are. So let's get back to like E. coli and glucose and stuff like that. So how exactly did these researchers create olefins through E. coli? Well, what they did is they took special E. coli strains that had mutated in a good way. Basically, they had mutated where their infectious rates were super low, and they basically didn't do anything. They were just random E. coli things just standing there in that petri dish, right? And they had also been genetically modified just a bit to basically poop out, quote-unquote poop out some special stuff, right? Those special things were called 3-hydroxy fatty acids, right? But we'll get to that in a bit. So basically what would happen is the researchers would feed the E. coli small pieces of glucose, and the E. coli would eat it up and absorb it, and then, because they had been genetically mutated, using that glucose, they would poop out, as I said before, 3-hydroxyl fatty acids. And fatty acids are just like the building blocks of the fats in our bodies. Like, they make up the fat that is in our bodies, right? And as you could tell, even by the name, 3-hydroxy fatty acids are not olefins, right? You can tell that even from the name, and obviously you would be able to tell if you looked at them through a microscope. So what did the researchers do? They used a substance called sodium pentoxide as a catalyst to basically, quote unquote, chop off the non-needed parts of the fatty acid. And what's a catalyst? A catalyst is something that speeds up a chemical reaction. If you've ever seen on Instagram or TikTok those videos of elephant toothpaste, basically how elephant toothpaste is made is you add hydrogen peroxide and you add soap, and then you add sodium iodide as a catalyst. Basically what happens is, if you just added hydrogen peroxide and just let it sit there for a while, slowly the oxygen atoms would just leave. And basically what the catalyst does is it speeds up that reaction. And because you have soap, the soap traps the extra air bubbles that are suddenly created with a catalyst. I don't know if you could understand that or not, but basically a catalyst speeds up chemical reactions. If you know about enzymes in our bodies, they are also catalysts. So back to the story, right? So what the researchers did is they used niobium pentoxide as a catalyst to basically, quote unquote, chop off the non-needed parts of the 3-hydroxy fatty acids. And they basically did that a lot, and what was left were olefins. And yeah, that was basically it. Overall, they took mutated genetically modified E. coli, fed it glucose, and they took those 3-hydroxy fatty acids, used niobium pentoxide as a catalyst to chop off the non-needed parts, and were left with olefins. Now, the problem is this process is not very efficient at all. So now what the researchers are trying to do is they're trying to find a way to make the E. coli more efficient to create more fatty acids. And it's gonna take a while, but this is actually really exciting because it can help us create more biofuels in the future instead of relying on like the oil and natural gas industry, which basically would help a lot with global warming and everything like that. And yeah, so if we can create biofuels in the future, we can create gasoline, we can pretty much create everything we need now with those biofuels instead of digging deep into the earth and taking that out of the crust. And so yeah, that's basically all for this episode. Hopefully you liked it. Leave a review if you'd like. Send me a message on Anchor if you'd like. My sources document is on my website, which is in the description. Once again, thank you so much for listening. Bye.